Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 17. In verse 17, the Word of God says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend loves at all times. Now, this verse in the Septuagint is significantly different than it is in the Hebrew. For those people who don't know, the Septuagint was used by the early Christians, and that was the early Greek translation of the Old Testament. The way that the Septuagint words it is, "For all time, the friend exists to you. The brethren in distress profitable let be. For this favor they were born." In other words, the friend was born to be a friend. Every human being is born to be a friend. Now, in the Septuagint, the love portion is implied. That word in the Hebrew is ahab, which means to have affection. But the Septuagint is much more descriptive of what the meaning is than the Hebrew. Now, the word friend in the Greek, in the Septuagint, is philos, which is a friend or a loved one, but it's from the stem phil, and that denotes relatedness or to treat someone as one's own people. That is the same stem as the word phileo, and all of these words are connected. They're all related. And it means to like or to love. Now, that quality of phileo is different than agape, albeit there are some significant similarities. Some scholars believe that phileo is actually the strongest form of love. What it is saying, though, is that it's a like form of love. It's not necessarily love like we think of love. Like we teach about agape. When we teach about the love of God, we teach about agape. Agape is the 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 form of love, where it's patient and kind, thinks no evil, and so on. Phileo is different. Phileo is more along the emphasis of liking than unconditional love. In fact, that's its biggest difference from agape, is the unconditionality. Agape has unconditionality. Phileo does not. Phileo is an appreciation style love. To understand this a little bit better, in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 28, the Word of God says that Michal, who was Saul's daughter, loved David. And that word loved is ahab. That is the same word as a friend loves at all times. So, Michal, Saul's daughter, had an ahab quality of love, what the Septuagint would translate as phileo. So she had this appreciation, this liking. Why? Well, Saul knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. So there was something about David that she appreciated, and she loved him because of it. However, in 2 Samuel 6:16, the Word of God says that when the ark returned to the city of David, in other words, to Jerusalem, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David dancing and leaping before the Lord, and she despised him for it. So while Saul's daughter loved David, she had an appreciation for him. When he was young, he was mighty. He was a very successful warrior. He was unexpectedly brilliant on the battlefield. And then, when he's a little bit older, she had known him for some time, he got very excited that the ark of the Lord had returned. He danced before God, and she hated him for it. She despised him for it. What happened there? There's that lack of unconditionality in filio that is not present in agape. Agape, God's brand of love, is unconditional. You can't budge God's love. It doesn't matter what you do, God will always love you exactly the same way. If you have a great day, if you have a terrible day, if you are the best person on earth, if you are the worst person on earth, God will love you exactly the same way. On the other hand, filio doesn't have that unconditionality. If they appreciate you, they love you. If they're tired of you, they despise you. That unconditionality is missing. Interestingly enough, there is the mention of God's filio toward us, but the Bible never says we are to have filio toward God. That's exclusively agape toward God. Now, in this proverb, 17:17, a friend loves. He filios at all times. He's in fact born to filio. And in order to understand what that really means, we really have to understand what it is when it says at all times. That's the key to this passage, at all times. When in the Bible you hear time, you're going to have to think of creation relativity. You have to understand that application of time, that really the nature of time as it pertains to reality, and this is not a theological concept. This is a concept in physics. Einstein is the one who came up with these ideas, and scientists have shown that he was absolutely correct. Time as we understand it does not exist. Now, I'm not saying time doesn't exist. I'm saying as we understand it, it's different than the way we experience it. If a friend loves at all times, then what it's really saying, because of the nature of time, that the friend loves from eternal perspective. Keep in mind that if a friend loves at all times, that means he loves not only in each instance and moment the way that we normally think of it, but the friend loves past, present, and future, all times. Well, past, present, and future, how can I love past, present, and future? In our human experience, you can't. But when you recognize that in eternity, past, present, and future are simultaneously present right now, that they are all taking place right this moment, that all of the past, all of the present, all of the future is happening immediately now, then you start to realize time from eternal perspective. From eternal perspective, I can see past, present, and future. From eternal perspective, I can love at all times. Now, this is a filio love. How in the world can a human being appreciate people at all times? I mean, be honest about it. Don't say it, don't answer it, but do you appreciate everything about everybody at all times? Let's say you work with somebody who's very difficult. Do you really appreciate everything about that person at all times? Do people appreciate everything about you at all times? You have a tough day. You maybe wake up not feeling well. For some reason, you're in a bad mood. You're kind of grumpy a little bit today. You think people appreciate everything about you at all times? And I'm sure that people are thinking about, like, oh yeah, I know my husband or I know my wife. I don't appreciate everything at all times. I know my brother or sister. I know my kid. I know my mom and dad. I don't appreciate everything about them at all times. But here it says a friend loves at all times, appreciates filial love at all times. Well, the difference is this. The difference is in the perspective. We love at all times if we love in eternal perspective. Now, what does this give us, this eternal perspective notion? What does this give us? That eternal perspective gives us a good view of what time actually is and how God deals with time. Because it is at all times. Now, the Word of God says that they are born for this favor. Now, again, I'm talking about the Septuagint's translation of this. This is not found in your King James. This is found in the Septuagint. It says, for this favor they were born. So they were born to be a friend. And by the nature of that word friend, we understand the type of love that's going on. And they were born for adversity. For this favor they were born. Why were we born? Why was any human being created? Why was anyone put on earth? Well, it's in Genesis 2:7. Out of the dust of the ground, God created the man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Remember what we taught about this. The word ground and the word man come from the same root word. That word is adama, and it means to show blood. So we were created to reveal the blood of Christ, to show blood. Our lives are all about revealing the blood of Christ. Our lives are not about being perfect. Our lives are not about excelling. Our lives are not about how good can we be. Our lives are about revealing the blood of Christ. We reveal the blood of Christ both in our attitude toward ourselves and our attitude toward other people. You can't have one without the other, by the way. Matthew 7, 1 and 2 makes sure that we understand that. So if I want to apply the blood to myself, I must necessarily also apply it to you. If I want to apply it to you, I must necessarily also apply it to myself. So when I operate in friendship, I'm reflecting on you relative to the blood of Christ. Well, what does the blood of Christ do? The Word of God says in Matthew 5:48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. How in the world are we, who are flawed, fallen human beings with an old sin nature, how are we going to be perfect as God is perfect? That's not going to happen. But then again, Jesus isn't telling us there to perform it. He's just telling us to be it. Well, the Word of God says in Ephesians 2:15 and 16 that at the cross we become one person with Christ. Now remember, past, present, and future are all happening right now. I may not be able to see it, but you know what? If I stand behind a tree, I can't see what's on the other side of it either. It doesn't mean that it's not there. So I may not be able to see the fact physically that I'm one person with Christ, but in eternity, it's very visible. In eternity, it is a completely clear and concrete reality. We are one person with Christ. Now, being one person with Christ, and it took place at the cross, it means that I'm cleansed by the blood of Christ, which flowed from inside of his body to the surface of his body at the cross. So while he's hanging on the cross, we're hanging there with him, and we are being washed in his blood because it's flowing over us. We're his body. When that took place, in Psalm 103:12, our sins were removed as far as the east is from the west, And again, if you look at this from the standpoint of creation relativity, now online, if you are wondering what I mean by creation relativity, go to Amazon, look up creation relativity, and for 99 cents, get the ebook. It's not a long read, but it's going to blow your mind. Because of that principle of creation relativity, we understand that when our sins were removed as far as the east is from the west, it's not talking about geography, it's talking about all of time. There is no place in created time where our sins exist. There's no place in uncreated time, except there is no such thing as uncreated time. All time is created. It was created in Genesis 1:1. And so, this principle of our sins being removed as far as the east is from the west is revealed in Psalm 103:12, and a little bit of understanding of what east from the west means shows us that it's time. Okay, so I cannot say yesterday I sinned, because God removed it from yesterday. It never happened yesterday. It's not there. If you could look at yesterday, you would see it's not there. There's no possible way for me to refer to yesterday as far as sin goes. What people try to do, and this is a mistake that happens in 2 Corinthians 5:16, they try to know people according to the flesh. Now, very often you will hear this verse referred to as, you don't know people according to their flesh. That's not what it's saying. It is saying, you don't know people according to your own flesh. According is the word kata, and what it literally means is out of. Your flesh is not the source of understanding, knowing, and interacting with people. If I have a flesh orientation, in other words, if I try to know you from my own flesh, I'm necessarily knowing you in moral light at the good side or the evil side, but usually at the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The best I can do at the tree of knowledge of good and evil is moral light. The problem with moral light is that often moral light is spiritual darkness. But it looks good. If I know you according to eternity's knowledge of you, then I'm going to know you in spiritual light. I won't know you according to a failure that I perceive and judge in you, I'll know you the way that God knows you. And even if I happen to see you fail, I'll accept what the blood of Christ does as far as time goes as relates to each individual's life. Therefore, I'll never know you according to a mistake. I'll never know you according to a moment of weakness. I'll never know you according to a failure. Why? Because it's eternal perspective. A friend loves at all times from an eternal perspective where you can see all of time. If I love you from an eternal perspective, I can appreciate a great deal about a person. There's nothing to not be appreciated about people when we see them from an eternal perspective, so long as they are Christians. So, yeah, you may have somebody who's weak. You may have somebody who fails. You may have somebody who has issues. But you're not seeing the issues. You're not seeing the weakness. You're not seeing the problems that this person has. You're seeing the mindset of God toward that person. In Jeremiah 29:11, we know what the mindset of God is. thoughts of peace and not of evil. That's the mindset of God. In Isaiah 42 and verse 5, Isaiah 42 and verse 4, God says, you are precious in my eyes and I love you. You've been honorable. Well, no, if you read a little bit farther in the chapter, you will see that Israel had not been honorable, but God sees them as exclusively honorable because he sees what the blood of Christ does, and the only way that he knows is according to reality, and reality, the blood of Christ removes all sin instantly. And so there is no sin for God to see. Hence, the reason why he forgets sin is because sin is removed from all of time. In other words, the event was eradicated by the blood of Christ from time, and therefore, there is no yesterday such and such happened. No, it's not there. God sees yesterday, God sees today. God sees 10 years ago, God sees 100 years ago, God sees all of time simultaneously. It's not there. So a friend can appreciate at all times. Have you ever seen somebody who will bring up things from the past? Well, at such and such a time, you did this. That's not a person who loves at all times. That's a person who's walking in moral light at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, operating in their old sin nature, relating according to their own sin nature toward other people, and trying to hold them up to the tree of knowledge of good and evil as they assess that person. That's not a friend. A friend loves at all times. Divine love doesn't see anything wrong in us. Divine love doesn't see mistakes. Divine love doesn't see sin. What did Jesus say to the woman caught in adultery? He said, woman, where are your accusers? In John chapter 8. And she said, no man, Lord. No man has accused me. And he says, go and sin no more. I don't accuse you either. And that was the end of the story. There is no accusation to be made. Because the blood of Christ has eradicated. If there is no accusation to be made, then I can appreciate every single Christian. Then I don't nitpick here and there. I don't pick and choose you. Oh, I see this in you and I see that in you. And then maybe I try to improve you, or maybe I get mad at you, or maybe I just kind of shun you or whatever, or maybe I think I can help you. That's all flesh. Hereby we know no man after the flesh. We know no man after the flesh. Not according to their flesh, according to our flesh. My flesh cannot have a relationship with anyone. Nobody can have a relationship with my flesh. And so, if I'm going to be in the flesh, the best thing to do is get out quickly. Because I'm totally isolated at that point. And I can't change that. And so, a friend loves at all times. At all times, affectionate appreciation is possible if eternal viewpoint is present. If eternal viewpoint is not present, you'll never be able to do it. But if eternal viewpoint is present, then that's the only thing that happens. You ever meet somebody who's always edifying? I mean, they can talk to somebody who's a total train wreck. Maybe they're talking to somebody who everybody finds to be totally obnoxious. And this person's just loving them up and edifying and kind and gentle and not even thinking anything of their failures. And some people are very frustrated by that because they want a moral light evaluation. But that person knows the love of God. That person knows how to love at all times because they see what the finished work is about. They see that the blood of Christ has dealt with all of it, and what they're looking at is not a person's flaws. What they're looking at is a person's soul. And they're not judging this person this way or that way. They're simply appreciating what the blood of Christ has done and what's left over. A friend loves at all times. The foundation of human love, which is not divine love, which falls far short of being love, is my old sin nature. If I know somebody after my old sin nature, I'm not going to love them. If I know somebody after my old sin nature, I'm going to consistently manifest my sin nature toward that person. And when I do that, there's going to be a wall put up, and I won't even understand where it came from. Well, it came from my sin nature. That was the veil. A friend loves at all times is eternal perspective. The sin nature is not capable of eternal perspective. The sin nature is only capable of a perspective at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It can only walk by sight. It cannot walk by faith. It cannot please God. And it cannot be one with Him in its practical experience. Albeit, positionally, the person is saved and still in their position, seated above in heavenly places. The Word of God says in Genesis 3:7, that after Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the eyes of both of them were opened. And they saw they were naked, and they sewed together fig leaves and made themselves aprons. If I live at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I will have complete misperceptions, albeit because I'm utilizing sight, I'll be completely convinced that I'm correct. It's not how it works with God. Adam and Eve looked at each other after they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then they also looked at themselves. They saw they were naked, and all of a sudden there was a problem. The trick about that is, that was never a problem. They misidentified the situation as it was before God. They see they're naked, all of a sudden they have to hide themselves because they are naked. Naked was never an issue. God never said in the Garden of Eden, you shall not be naked. God made them naked. He did not clothe them until after the fall. He made them to be naked in the garden. And only after they became self-oriented at the tree of knowledge of good and evil was naked ever a problem, and they misidentified a problem that did not exist. So all this time they're in the garden, they're naked as a jaybird, and they're completely content. No thought of anything being wrong. God was completely okay with it. He was talking to them every day in the cool of the day. No problems, and now they're self-oriented, and now it's a problem. You see, that's what self-orientation is. It creates problems where there are no problems. It creates sin where there is no sin. It creates separation where there is no need for separation or reason for it. It does that not because they were looking at the other. It was because they were looking at themselves. And when they looked at themselves, they saw the other in the wrong way. That happens today too. If I look at myself, I cannot see you. If I look at myself, I cannot understand you. If I look at myself, I cannot connect with you. And there's no way for me to assess anything about it by looking at you. The only one I can deal with is with me. I can't actually deal with you. But then you're not mine to deal with in Romans 14:4. And so I make sure that I'm not knowing anything or anyone, you or me or any other person, according to my own old sin nature. I can only know you from eternal perspective. From eternal perspective, I can love. From eternal perspective, I can connect with people. From eternal perspective, I can understand people. From eternal perspective, I can be compassionate on people. From eternal perspective, I can be merciful. I can be gracious. I can be gentle. From eternal perspective, I can love. But I cannot do it in self-orientation at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The best I'll come up with is moral light. And I'll call it human good, as I'm actually just trying to live in human appreciation of that which satisfies my sin nature. Appease my sin nature and I'll love you. Challenge my sin nature and I'll hate you. That's what human love does. The Word of God says in John 7:24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There is the key to divine love. You don't look at things as they appear. You don't look at people as they appear. You don't evaluate people by the way they appear. You evaluate them by the love of God, the mind of God, the perspective of God. What does God see? What does God know? And then you have some way to love at all times. Filio is impossible unless it's eternal. Filio will be very short-lived if it's not eternal. Agape, that's a whole other story. We're not talking about agape at all tonight. But filial, we are to have filial at all times. So I can only appreciate someone if I'm living in God orientation, in divine perspective, and then I can have divine love. Why? Because then I can appreciate everything about them. But only from divine perspective. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept your gift. I accept your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.